everyone. I think we can get started. First of all, my name's Eamon O'Reilly. I'm a lead program manager on the System Center team, mostly working on orchestrator and Azure automation capabilities. First of all, thanks a lot for coming today. I know it's early, it's 9 o'clock, but hopefully you'll get a lot out of this session. We're mostly going to cover the new Microsoft Operations Management Suite that came out, and a particular focus on the automation capabilities that are inside of there. I've talked to a few of you before. I know it only came out in the last few months, but have any of you tried the Operations Management Suite that came out? Are you familiar with it? Not very many. It sounds like you might have heard about it. You probably saw it at the keynote. It got mentioned a few times. And basically, it's one of those things that as we invest more over time into the clouds and into Azure, we also want to give you the ability to be able to manage all of those from a cloud-based service so it could scale and meet all the needs you might come up with as you bring more and more resources across multiple different clouds. And so hopefully you'll get a good taste for what its capabilities are now. And you can actually get it as part of System Center. It's an add-on to System Center. So if you are starting to think about bringing some of your resources into the public cloud or even into other like service provider clouds, it's something to look at because it allows you to kind of manage and integrate all those systems together. OK, so for the session overview, I'm basically going to cover these few topics here. One is I will give a, since I think most of you haven't seen it, I'll give a quick overview of the Operations Management Suite. We basically call it OMS. So if you hear people say OMS, that's basically what we talk about related to Operations Management Suite. As part of that, I'm going to focus on the scenario capabilities related to automation. It does tie into the other capabilities. There's like four major capabilities inside of Operations Management Suite today. I'll touch on each one of those, but the automation is one of them I'm going to focus on. I want to give some demos just so you get a feel for what are its capabilities, particularly around how do you start to integrate some of these services together that exist inside of OMS. And then I'm going to give you some view into what are we working on over the next few months. The one thing that a key takeaway I would get from this is, you know, it was a big change for us as we started to invest in cloud-based management and cloud services compared to what we traditionally do inside of System Center that we're releasing with 2016 of System Center, in that it really opened up the ability for us to innovate and release things really quickly. So one thing you'll notice about the OMS suite as we go forward is that it has a ton of capabilities right now, but there's just going to be more and more. Literally every month there's new things coming out inside of that service. And so if you want to really take advantage of the latest things that we're coming up with, you're going to see them inside of OMS. And then a lot of those capabilities do show up inside the System Center, but if you want the best kind of and latest, OMS is an area that you'd want to get familiar with at least, especially if you're thinking about doing any kind of hybrid cloud management in the future. It's definitely an area I think it'll help. Okay, so here's kind of the pretty diagram of OMS. And I think the key takeaway when you look at it is we really wanted to focus when we built OMS on not just managing one cloud. You know, so with System Center, we do a really good job of managing the kind of the infrastructure, your data center, and private clouds you might have inside your organization. And that's traditionally where most of our customers were over the last few years. But as we started to look forward, a lot of our customers were also starting to think about how do we take advantage of other clouds in our environments. And a lot of times it was, you know, maybe we're using AWS for virtual machines because they were, you know, very easy to spin up and my test teams and my dev teams could just use them. Or maybe you're starting to use Azure. But no matter what it is, we see customers starting to head towards hybrid clouds in the future. And so we wanted to build a management system that will easily allow you to kind of manage all those hybrid clouds in one place. So all your data center stuff, plus all of your stuff you may have in Azure or in other third-party clouds like service providers you might be working with. And so the goal was, how do we manage all those clouds? And then the second thing we focused on, which you'll start to see kind of come out more and more inside the service, is how do you actually manage the heterogeneous environment that exists inside your organization? And typically when we talk about that, we're kind of two different views. One is we talk about all the different management systems you have in your environment. So you might be running VMware on premises, you might be hooking up into AWS, you may have your own management systems for the CMDB, but these are kind of all these different systems that you have to kind of manage your entire infrastructure. And so how do we actually go and connect up? And then the second view is, it's not just Windows most customers run. I think a lot of our customers are starting to have this more of a hybrid world where Linux is actually coming in with new applications. And so we wanted to make sure as we built out the servers, we could not just be first-class management of Windows, but also be able to manage Linux all from the same place. And so you'll see more and more investments over time come up there. So you should be able to use it no matter what kind of OS you're managing, nor how many systems you have in your environment. It's really built to integrate and scale with those. How many of you guys have Linux in your environments, just as a quick? Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of it is. I think the days of just having Windows or guys just having Linux, you know, I think what's happening a lot, though, at least in the past, is the teams are kind of segmented. You know, the Linux guys are over in that side of the building, and the Windows guys are on this side of the building. But, you know, and that's kind of worked in the past. But I think as you start to integrate more and more of these systems together and you're trying to deliver IT as a service, you need to be able to hook up these systems, at least at some basic level, be able to say, you know, what's happening to these systems at the same time and get visibility across all of these, especially when you think about compliance and other requirements that are coming in on IT. Okay, so I had a session yesterday, but the reason I bring up this automation trend slide is as automation exists inside of operations management suite, we really try to think about, you know, where are we heading with automation over time? And, you know, it kind of reinforces that message I gave around OMS about the ability to integrate into different cloud providers. And automation is really that capability. You know, it is an automation, but it's really an integration service as well. And how we integrate is using what we call PowerShell modules. And you'll see as I go forward that those are very, very powerful on actually integrating and talking to different systems. And then the other thing we really are focusing on is enabling self-service. That's something that's been around for years, but when you've got multiple clouds and you've got your, you know, end users coming in and say, I want to deploy, you know, 3 virtual machines or I want to get a new SQL server, you need to be able to kind of offer that out as self-service. And then depending on what they select, it might go to your on-premises private cloud and your own infrastructure. If it's really sensitive information, if it's just a test thing, you might spin it up over in Amazon AWS, or maybe it's a website and you want to take advantage and give them some capabilities up on Azure so they can deploy it there. And so really having that ability to kind of offer out the unified catalog and then be able to drive the delivery of that catalog and the delivery of those services through automation is something that lights up as we go forward. And then DevOps, I'll touch on this a little bit. I'll do a demo and you'll kind of see how we're also trying to enable the basically development teams and the operations team to have seamless integration as they try to do continuous deployments. You know, what's happening all the time right now is that the expectation is you can no longer wait 3 or 4 or 6 weeks to deliver new features and capabilities. They want to be able to get those new things out, you know, within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And we're seeing the same pressure ourselves. You know, with System Center, we used to kind of, you know, it was hard. We did these service packs maybe every 6 months. Now we've gotten to like every quarter, but it's still pretty difficult. But we're trying to get, you know, down even further and further so we can actually release value all the time. And with the cloud, we do that literally every week. But even on-premises software can be done if you really try to work with the operations teams and the development teams together. And then modern management, that's really what OMS is all about, and automation is part of that, is how do we actually start to bring management to the next level over time? You know, System Center is really powerful today for all of your data center capabilities, and it can still manage even third-party clouds. But as you think about the future and you really want to take advantage of the latest stuff, how do we build a new management system that's built from the cloud, meets your needs, and that we can update and always get the continuous value added? And then I talked before about the heterogeneous environments. And then the last point just in OMS in general is we really took a step back as well. I don't know, I talked to a few of you who are using Operations Manager. You might be using Orchestrator or some other components like DPM, Config Manager, but they all eventually start to hit some scale issues. And then you end up spending a lot of time actually managing the infrastructure, not actually getting value from the services. You know, I've seen where, you know, customers have like 5, 10 management groups in their environments, and there's a guy basically responsible now for managing the infrastructure. They're not even looking at alerts. And it's the same when you think about, you know, Virtual Machine Manager or all these other type of products we have. As you scale up, it actually becomes very difficult to manage these. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of ways in System Center to do it, and it can be done, but it is a fair amount of overhead for people to invest that much on the infrastructure. And so what we really want to do is how can we actually add additional value from the cloud without giving you those requirements of having to manage everything on-premises, especially when scale becomes an issue. And so that's one of the reasons we pushed most of our things into the cloud was to try to alleviate that tension that exists when you have on-premises infrastructure. All right, so let me give a quick overview of OMS just to kind of level set everybody. I'll switch over to my laptop real quick here. Okay, so for this, I was actually building a site really quick that I wanted to demo, and I noticed, oh, I have a typo. I was like, oh, maybe it's a good time to actually go fix it while I'm up here. And so I'm going to do just a quick change on this site here, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about, you know, how it all kind of ties together. So, you know, if I was like, this is kind of the DevOps scenario where I built this site really quick. It's just a standard site, and you can see I have the typo in here. And I was just going to go fix it, but then I thought, you know, I've been talking with people all week, and all I hear about is, you know, what's going to happen with the World Cup. And so I kind of wanted to just go, Ireland wins Rugby World Cup. And I don't know what you think the chances are, but it's probably not good. But it is my site, so I'm going to check that in. And this is just standard stuff that would happen inside of a normal site. So you can see it checking in here. And then I'm just going to kick off a build. Builds. And I'll select the build I want for this. Queue it up. This is typically what even our own developers are doing a lot. And off it goes, and it's kicking off a build. And this is running up on Visual Studio. So I just want to stop for a second there. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to show any more Visual Studio. But I'll come back and just show you why it's important as we go forward. So let me switch over to actually Operations Management Suite. So if you go to Microsoft.com/OMS, this is the page you're going to get if you come over there. And it really tries to highlight the overall high-level value prop we're doing inside of OMS. And it really consists of four major capabilities today. I'm not going to walk through the website because you guys can do that anytime. But just so you know, we have Log Analytics. And this is, it's kind of like Operations Manager where we're trying to bring all of your data together and then give you the ability to actually get insight from that data. And I'll show you how that works inside of the cloud. The automation I'm going to focus a lot on today. And then we have backup and recovery. So this is your ability to kind of back up machines in any cloud on any OS. And similarly around all of the security and compliance. So how do you do auditing? How do you get information? How do you recover if you get breached? All of that kind of security stuff is another major area of investment right now. And there's going to be more. The one thing to take away is these are the capabilities we have today. We're going to keep adding more and more over time, so you'll see the OMS suite even build up more. But you get a lot of value from what's there today. And if you're interested, I'm not going to go through, because I don't work in marketing, but there is pricing here on how you can get it. There's two ways. You can pay as you go, or you can get it as an add-on to System Center if you already have System Center in your organization. Okay, so that's enough of the website. Here's actually what the service looks like. So all of this is running up inside of our Azure data center. And you can see when you first log in, what it's doing, it's giving you an overview of all of the different information that exists inside of the clouds and OSs that you're managing. And I'll touch on just a few here, and then I'll drill in and kind of give you a demo. So the first one you can see pop up is I have alert management. And so what's happening here is all of the alerts that you get from Operations Manager, we can actually suck those into OMS, the service, and then they're available for you in here to drill in, and I'll show you how that works. Similarly with your malware, you can actually determine for all the servers which ones have issues. This is the automation account I'm going to drill into. It just shows you you have an automation account linked up into OMS and how many runbooks and jobs you currently have. Similarly with backup, I don't have site recovery in here, but it's just another view. You can get change tracking, capacity planning, configuration assessment, SQL assessment, system update assessment. There's just a bunch of different views and capabilities that you get. And the reason most of these exist is because we've actually brought in all of the raw data into the service. That's where you get the power. Once you have the data, insights actually open up on top of that. And that's really at its fundamental what OMS offers just from the log analytics. And that's the place a lot of times I would start with. Because it's very easy. You just point to all of your different environments. You suck all that data in. And then you can, it's amazing how much insights you can get out of the box just by bringing that data in. And if I wanted to, you can just drill into any one of these. So I will drill into the alerts, just so people are probably the most familiar with Operations Manager. But this brings in all of your alerts automatically from Operations Manager. So you can see I have a website down. And if I wanted to drill in, I could actually just keep drilling in. And eventually, you're going to get to the basic search. And search, at the end of the day, is everything you saw from all those views. It's all built on search. Because you have all this data, then you create search queries, and then those bubble up to those top-level views. And here you can see the search is basically has, you know, alert name equals IIS website, and I can keep drilling in and get information out of this. So that's basically how OMS at the top level looks like. I'm going to do one quick thing and drill into the automation just so you can get a view of it. So if I click into automation, it basically just has a very basic view right now. We are kind of updating this to have a lot more information, and you'll see this roll out. But for now, it just gives you a very simple view of how many runbooks and how many jobs you have. And then when you click on manage, it basically brings you over at the moment to the full Azure new portal, because the automation service currently lives inside of the new portal, not the existing one. And so it brings you over here to do all of your automation inside of here. So you can see the same runbooks and my jobs. I'll just give a quick tour just of this space, and then I'll come back and actually show a real-world demo. But at the top level, have people, I think I asked, I had a session yesterday, but I don't think many have played with OMS. Has anybody played with any of our Azure automation pieces? No. Well, if you haven't, it's awesome. I encourage everyone to go and try it. Again, the nice thing about it is, even with OMS, there's a free trial. So you can sign up straight away, and you can actually get a certain amount of data you can bring in. You can do some backups. You can do some site recovery. But you also get 500 free minutes every month of automation. So if you want to go back and say, well, I don't know if this is really for me, you can actually just sign up for the trial and just start actually using it, bring in some data, do some automation, and then you'll see. And if it really makes sense, then you can actually say, well, how can I scale it out for my bigger environment? It's very easy to get a POC going related to this. But basically how automation works, you know, it's not particularly complicated, but it's built on the idea that as things go, because scale becomes important and repetitive tasks you're trying to eliminate and you're trying to offer out self-service, the only way to do that is actually to automate the tasks. You know, I think we've all known this for years. It's just, you know, a lot of times it was difficult because we didn't know what the processes were, or maybe it wasn't needed because we didn't change our environments that much and things were pretty static. But I think the days with a lot of, you know, virtual machines getting spun up and spun down and VM sprawl, and then containers are coming. We're going to have container sprawl. Now we have cloud sprawl. Like, all of this stuff is actually making it very difficult to manage. And so if you don't actually put some automation and put some constraints around this, it is going to get unwieldy. Even if you're a relatively small organization, it's going to get to a point where you really can't automate and manage everything unless you invest some time in scripting and actually the orchestration of all these things. So at a high level, we have runbooks. So this is all of your scripts. I'll go into them in a second. We have assets. And so our assets basically consist, I'll click on them just so you can see, but they consist of four things. You can schedule all of your automation and when you need to. We have modules. So I talked about PowerShell modules briefly before, but PowerShell modules give you the ability to, you know, integrate and talk to systems. I think most of you familiar with PowerShell are familiar with PowerShell modules. They're really powerful on Windows, but we've seen a lot of our partners and a lot of our cloud providers actually offering out PowerShell modules too. So if you're using Amazon, there's actually a really powerful AWS module. It has like over 700 commandlets. You can import that thing directly into our service, and now you can fully manage Amazon. Literally every single thing about EC2 and all the Amazon services from here, just using their module. And similarly with VMware. VMware's got a really powerful module. You can actually manage all of vCenter, all of VMware, using their module inside of the service. So it doesn't really matter. And then obviously the hardware providers and everybody else, they're invested in modules and PowerShell and WMI. All that stuff's available inside the service. Jobs are kind of self-explanatory. These are all the automation jobs that have run. Hybrid workers, I'll talk a little bit more of this in the future, but this gives us the ability to actually manage on-premises. So when we first launched Azure Automation, it was really designed just to manage Azure or maybe public-facing clouds like Amazon. But with the addition of the hybrid workers that just came out in the last few months, we now have the ability to actually connect into your data center as well and do all of your automation from one place. Desired state configuration. Anyone done anything with PowerShell DSC? Great, we have a few. So actually we're bringing what I would call management on top of the DSC technology into automation. So initially we have a, if you're familiar, we have a pull service. If you're not familiar with configuration, I'll talk a bit later on just to give you an overview. It is kind of a new technology, but again, it's one of those that if you're not familiar with, but you're really trying to say, how do I actually get all my machines deployed and configured correctly, I would start looking at PowerShell DSC, and then you'll see the management functionality that you really need also start to show up inside of Azure Automation. And then these are the configurations related to DSC. So that's kind of all it is. We have some things coming soon, but I won't touch on those. I'll wait till the end, and then I'll go through some of those. All right, let me jump back and keep an eye on time so I don't go over. Okay, switch back to 5. So hopefully you saw a little bit of what OMS is about. We have those 4 services, you know, log analytics, probably the most powerful thing in there. We have automation that allows, so log analytics gives you insight, gives you the information about the data. Automation gives the ability to take action on that data. And I'll show how that works. And then we have, obviously, backup site recovery, security, compliance, all of those type of things are also available. Okay, so some of the scenarios. This is a similar slide, but it's kind of interesting that all of the capabilities that you would traditionally do inside of your data center, they really apply even as you start to go into different clouds. You know, some of the processes may change a little bit because now you're dealing with public clouds. You don't have the same controls over the, you know, physical hardware, but you might have the same compliance. You know, I don't know what kind of compliance you might have in New Zealand, but in the US, we've got all kinds of things around credit card compliance, and now we have the Sarbanes-Oxley thing they call, and there's all this kind of compliance that most IT organizations actually struggle with. And a lot of that is because they really need to know what's happening inside their environment. And you don't know that unless you actually put management on top of it. And that's one of the powerful things we have in System Center, but it's also a powerful thing we have inside of OMS as well with automation. But I won't go through this list. You know, you have the slides, but I think the top 3 main categories are something to think about. Like, how do I get started? Is there any quick wins for me with OMS? You know, I think the quick win would be bring your data in, get some insight. And then the other quick win you might want to do is, you know, is there anything I can do when I see some of that data come in that I can take action on? Do I collect more information? Do I go and restart some services? You know, do I need to scale out something? Do I need to escalate it to another ticketing system if I see these alerts? Those are kind of cheap wins that you can do to actually start show some value. And then you can obviously extend that and really start to get into like patched orchestration. I bet that's a problem for most of you. You know, how do you orchestrate patches between everything? Even if you're using SCCM, it's really difficult, especially on the data center side. That's where automation can really play a role. But there's a whole set of scenarios and capabilities. I wouldn't try to bite them off all at once. Just start with one, prove it out, get familiar with the service, and then it's very easy to add on and build up from there. Okay, so what's our goal with OMS, and particularly around automation? You know, what we'd like to get to, and I think we're actually pretty far along there right now, is have one automation solution that actually meets your needs no matter where you're trying to manage. That is our goal, and we're very close, I would say, right now with what we have out there. But it still only came out in the last few months, so we'd really like some feedback on it. But it gives you the ability to actually manage completely everything from your data center side to your public clouds to clouds hosted and service providers. And the nice thing is we've been working in this space for quite a while. You know, we shipped, you know, Orchestrator back in 2012. And so we've been kind of working on it for a couple of years before then when we did an acquisition. And so it's been this 5 or 6 years we've been working on Orchestrator and all of the automation capabilities in System Center. And then we've been working on PowerShell for a long, long time. And so when you bring both of those together, we actually have a lot of experience on what does it take to really manage at scale, automate all of your tasks, integrate all your systems. And so we brought most of that knowledge over, and we've actually tried to deliver that inside of Operations Management Suite with automation. So you get the graphical authoring experience that's really powerful in Orchestrator, plus you also get the core PowerShell authoring capabilities inside of the service. But the other major thing that customers usually want is, you know, how do I secure all my assets? What about my credentials? What do I do with all those? All of those are securely stored in the service. You know, that's probably a problem most of you have. Like, if you write, people are writing PowerShell scripts, I assume. I don't know where you're storing your credentials right now, but I suspect it's all over the place. And some of them are in the actual scripts themselves. And I've done it myself. And, well, I didn't know where else to put them. Like, that's the only place I could put them at that could actually get access. And so I was doing all kinds of crazy things like scheduling services and putting the passwords in there, and then the machine would be down. And then I'd be like, why didn't my script run? And I'd go figure out that some guy turned the machine off, and then I'd turn it back on. And all of this stuff basically, you know, happens when you're trying to automate inside your data center. Whereas the one thing I've noticed when I went to the service, I can basically just put everything up there and forget it. And that was one of the, you know, enlightening things I had. I remember going to I had to go to a doctor's appointment, and I was trying to get some automation written. And I was trying to connect in, and I was actually working online. And then the doctor came out and said, yes, you're waiting. I don't know if you're the same in New Zealand, but in the US, you're in waiting forever. You know, they say they're going to meet you at 3 o'clock, and then you get there at 3 o'clock, and it's probably 4. And so you're just working in there while you're waiting. And I was working on some automation. The guy comes out, oh, we're ready. And I was like, oh, I didn't really, you know, save everything. Normally, how do I shut down? How do I get back? And because it was all in the cloud, it was just literally in the browser. I just literally shut my laptop down. I went into the doctor's appointment, came back up, brought it up again, and it was all there. There was none of the connectivity. There was no worrying about if the machine was going to be there. All of that was just instantly on. And to me, that was one of the things that really enlightened me about, you know, as I moved to the cloud and as I moved management to the cloud, it's just some of the stuff to become so simple because I'm no longer worried about the infrastructure associated with it. Okay, so I'm going to jump back. I know I briefly touched on the portal, but I want to go through a little bit more of the portal just so you guys get familiar with it. So if you do go back after this and you're like, you know, what are all these runbooks? What's going on over here? Hopefully you'll have a good understanding by the end of the session that you can actually go and try. Literally sign up for this. I would sign up today. If you have like an account, any kind of a Live ID account, you literally could hit Microsoft.com/OMS and sign up. Or you could just go to the Azure portal, sign up right there, and automation's available for you, and you have free 500 minutes. Okay, so here's what we have in the portal. So I talked a little about central management. This allows you to kind of centrally manage all of your assets. And the goal around these assets, it's not like, you know, we're trying to store everything in assets. What we're trying to do is remove the hard coding out of your automation. So the goal really is, as you build up these automation, you want to make them reusable. And so you may have some automation scripts that, you know, copy files from one location to another, but maybe they zip them up before they land them on the destination. You know, that could be a standard thing you do. But you don't want to, like, fix that script. You want to basically be able to pass in the parameters into the script so it can actually do it independent of what files they are or maybe what share they're on or what destination they're on. And so our overall goal with these assets is you store all of the stuff you would normally hard code into the script up into our central store. And then during the actual runtime of that runbook, the script, it will actually pull the data down at runtime. And it becomes very powerful because maybe their destination server is down. But then all you have to do is update that one asset variable. When you actually run it, it'll actually point to a new server and off you go. You never had to go and modify any of the scripts. Same with your credentials. If you store the credentials as an asset, then when you run it and maybe the password is about to expire, you change it in one place and now all of your runbooks, all of your scripts just automatically keep on working. And so this really our goal is with the assets is to remove any dependencies or any hard coding you would put into the scripts. Obviously, we have a scheduler. You can try this out. You can run things hourly, daily. Just allows you to kind of, if you have standard tasks you do at midnight, you can just put these in and forget them. And it's actually the most powerful thing we have customers doing today. For very simple tasks, but they get a lot of value. You don't have to do complicated stuff to get value. You can do something very simple, and you still get tremendous value. The other part we have in there is textual. I'll show some of these in a second. So from a textual authoring standpoint, so today we support authoring two different ways. You can author in PowerShell workflow. So some of you might be familiar with PowerShell workflow, but it's a language inside the PowerShell that is designed really for long-running tasks or things you have to do in parallel, things that might get interrupted and you have to restart. And so we use that as our base to actually author all of our runbooks. And then we also have graphical authoring, which allows you basically to visually, just like an orchestrator, you visually can author all of your processes, and one of them can call the other. You know, I typically, even I do it myself, is I'll do the outline as kind of graphically so I can see what I'm actually trying to do. But then the low-level things like maybe zipping up those files, I will actually write a PowerShell script for because it's often easier just to do it in a few lines of script than to actually graphically do it. But it's nice to have a node that says zip up files, and then have that call a runbook that actually zips up the files that might be script. But you can mix and match between these. And I'll talk a little bit about our future investments here as well, so it even gets more flexible in the next few weeks. From the library, you'll see this when I go into the demo, but I mentioned our modules and all of our assets. Obviously, you don't want those hard-coded in the script, and this is really what the library is about. So we ship with a bunch of modules out of the box. The two major ones we ship with at the moment is the Azure module. If you're familiar with doing anything in Azure, there's a kind of like that AWS module. There's an Azure module that has a few hundred commandlets as well. And it basically allows you to do every kind of management task you would want to do on top of Azure. And so we ship that in the service. And then we also ship an SSH one. And so if you want to do anything inside of Linux machines or any SSH host, you can use our SSH module, you know, remote in using SSH, run the script, get the results, and continue on with your tasks. And so those are the two we ship out of the box. But the real powerful thing is you can actually import any module you want into our service. There are some constraints around it that you can read on our blogs. But generally, you can import any module into our servers, and then you can use that module to actually integrate and talk to other systems. I'm going to show you a little bit of the graphical modeling. This thing is even brand new. The PowerShell workflow scripts we started with, and so those are actually pretty hardened and work well. The graphical authoring just came out. But I think you'll get a good feel of the direction we're going. There's a lot more investments happening in this, but it does give you a sense of where it is. But there is work that we're doing. This is in beta, I would phrase it as. But it starts to open up a lot of automation processes that were kind of difficult in scripts to see what was going on. Whereas graphically, you're focusing more on, you know, how do I work on the data and what am I trying to accomplish, and not on how I'm trying to accomplish it. And I think that's one way to look at graphical over textual. You lose a little bit of the power and the flexibility PowerShell gives you, but you gain a lot of just how do I easily connect up systems and how do I focus on data and not on the actual tasks. So there's a bunch here. I kind of have it in as references, but we do have a lot of capabilities. Obviously, we've worked on Orchestrator for a lot of years. It has really rich graphical authoring. If you want a great experience doing your on-premises, you can use Orchestrator, and I think you're going to be happy with it. But the same guys that worked on that, we've actually had the same guys working on the graphical authoring inside the cloud. And so all of the core capabilities you'll see in Orchestrator where you'll start to see show up inside of OMS with automation over the next few months. And there's enough there now to get started, but over the next few months, you'll see a lot more coming in. Okay, I'm going to jump back and kind of go a little bit deeper into the demo, and then you'll start to see some of those concepts I talked about as I go through, and you get a feel for what it can do. Okay, I'm going to switch it back to demo. All right, back into OMS here for a second. And I'll hope there it comes. So I could do a bunch of different things here, but I'm going to focus on one thing just to give you some idea of what's possible. But you'll see this, it's a generic type of solution that could work for anything. If you went home today, you could try this yourselves. But I clicked into one of these tiles, and I saw alerts here, and I can see that, you know, alert website is unavailable, you know, IIS web server is unavailable. And if I click in here, I can actually get a good view of what's going on. So I can see that a web server is, you know, not available. If I show more, I can see it's basically my on-premises environment. I have a service management automation machine, and I turned off the web service just so I can get some alerts. But actually, that's all I did, and they got picked up by Operations Manager, and now they float up here. But you can see here, you can just keep on drilling in, and it's really powerful stuff that you can actually do. I just literally was just clicking around, and you can drill into data. But let's say this gives me insight. You know, now I can see what's going on in my environment, and I have all the data. But what happens if I want to take potentially some action on that? So that's where automation at the moment can also kick in. So I literally can just copy this query up here, and I'm going to switch over into automation. Hopefully I'll just reload. How many of you guys have stuff in Azure today? Anyone? Awesome. Good, third to a half maybe. So, I mean, if you got anything going on in Azure, I would definitely have a look at this. But so I'm going to click into one of the runbooks I wrote, actually, just this morning. So I wrote a runbook called Query OMS Workspace. And I'm going to show you how that works. But one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about was the modules we have. So when I look at these assets, how do we talk into different systems? So you can see here from the modules I have, I actually have all these modules I import into the system. So as you know, we only shipped with a few out of the box. But I actually have a ton more inside of my environment because I imported these in. And one of those is actually the ability to talk into Operations Management Suite. And there's a module you can go up I wrote this module myself. It's just a wrapper around the OMS interface, but it literally took like a couple of hours. You guys could do the same. But it is up on the web, and someone did post a blog post about this if you're interested in using it. But you basically just had two commandlets I wrote, get OMS workspace and then search OMS. And so these are two commandlets that I actually wrote and imported into my system so I could talk to OMS. So if I go back to my account and I look at my runbooks, I'm going to go into this query OMS one I wrote this morning. You can see I just updated it earlier. And I'm going to go to edit. And so this is basically our authoring experience we have inside here. You can also author inside PowerShell ISE and import it into the system. But if you want to do it inside of the service, you also can. And you get some nice IntelliSense and some other capabilities. Not everything the ISE. So I think if you went full-time, you'd probably use the ISE for most things and then fix them up in here. But it does give you the flexibility to do both. But you can see it's pretty basic stuff. So the first thing I'm doing is I'm basically getting the connection into Azure because I want to be able to connect into Azure. Basically, how OMS works is you have to authenticate, and so I need credentials. And those assets are stored in an asset called Azure Connection. And if I looked over here, you would actually see, you know, what these connections are. They're inside of here. And here's Azure Connection. And the nice thing, if you wanted to use it, you can just right-click, add to Canvas, and it's there. And then you can just assign it to a variable, and you're ready to go. So, you know, you'll spend quite a bit of time kind of setting up your assets. And then when you get into your scripts, you're just using assets. And so I use the connection one. Then I get my OMS connection. I need the token. So how do I actually authenticate? So I get my token, and I call this commandlet. There's an Azure AD module that says, well, if you give me the connections into AD with the username and password, I'll give you back a token. And so that's what that does. What subscription am I working on? I've hard-coded this in here. And then when I wrote a query, I was actually looking, I just wrote this query. This is directly copy and paste from OMS, but I'm going to change it. So you can see I just literally pasted what I took from the OMS query. And then I'm going to search. So this is that commandlet I wrote, search OMS. I give it the token so it can authenticate. The query I want to run, which is this one, and my connection. So what's the connection into OMS? And I can show you those inside the module. And then I just jump out the results. So from a testing experience, I can click on test. And you can see I ran this one earlier. And it was a different thing I was looking for. I was looking for IIS stuff. But you can see it just spit out everything related to IIS. And here's where we have the ability to run it on Azure or run it in a hybrid worker. And so if you have hybrid workers registered in your environment, which I do, you actually now have the ability to say, I don't want to run this in Azure. I want to run this on premises. And so maybe I'm actually doing a query that says, I want a query for all my machines that are running inside my data center. You now can actually say, OK, I'm going to target those hybrid workers in my data center for this runbook. And it's going to run inside your data center. Or I want to target everything in Azure. Then maybe you'll run it from Azure. Or any other public one, maybe you'll run in Azure against AWS or any of those others. But now you have the ability to basically say, I want to run it on premises or run it in Azure. And so this one, obviously, since it's, I can just run it in Azure. And I'll click Start, and away it goes. OK, I'm going to jump out of here and maybe come back at the end, because I want to make sure I can get through the last few slides, and then you'll see, hopefully, the results. Hopefully, it gives you a feel for the authoring. It's actually very straightforward. And I'll show you a little bit of graphical if I have time here in a couple of minutes. OK, so you know, this is kind of another one of those slides that it's worth taking a look at, you know, later when you have time. But it really kind of sets up what does Azure Automation offer inside of OMS. And I talked a little bit along the way about these core tenets of, you know, on-premises in the cloud, integration across systems. It's really powerful from that perspective. All of the workflow capabilities you saw in there, desired state configuration is coming in. We have graphical and PowerShell. And then obviously we do Windows and Linux. So these are kind of the, you know, the core top-level value prop you have inside of what features we offer. And then the top-level scenarios are what you're going to want to build out. And there is things coming that's going to make that easier for you. Over on the right, you can see our core capabilities on how we build these things out. So I talked a little bit about, you know, what's the power of automation? You know, we ship a lot of stuff out of the box, like we have the Azure ones. But the real power you saw there was when you start to bring in modules from other systems into our service to allow you to integrate up. And so typically, I don't know if you're familiar with PowerShellGallery.com, there's a new PowerShell gallery that launched. And we've been working from Microsoft with most of our partners, most of the OEMs, to actually get the modules up into the PowerShell gallery. And then with the latest version of PowerShell, you can actually pull in all those modules directly into your machine that you need them. But we're also going to be able to pull them directly into Azure Automation. And if you actually go to PowerShellGallery.com today, there's actually a button that says Deploy to Azure Automation. And any module that's up there, you can click on that button, and it's going to import it inside of here. And so if you want to go play with the Amazon one, just search for Amazon, click Deploy into your automation account, and you're going to get the AWS one in there, and you can start turning some machines off or do whatever you want against. But the same for any other system you have. Even OEM systems like hardware, storage, it doesn't really matter. You can manage them. I think we're still working with the VMware one as well. I think at the moment it's not a contained module, but we're working with them so it can actually show up in the PowerShell gallery as well. But the other one is you can just write your own. So you saw me, I wrote one to actually connect into OMS because there wasn't one, it just came out. And so I literally just wrote a module, and I just wrote it in PowerShell. And all it does is basically call HTTP requests against OMS because they have an API interface. And so I just wrapped that so it's a little more friendly as a module. Import in that system, and now I can talk to them and do whatever I want. And so you too can do the same. You can do it yourself if you're familiar with PowerShell. If you have any development teams in your organization, they could write up these to talk to any system you have. You may have your own custom CMDB that was part of your end-to-end processes. You can actually just author a module on top of that, import it to the system, and now that can actually play a part in your larger system processes you're building. Okay, so here's our hybrid overview. There's a lot of blog documentation. We spent quite a bit of time on this hybrid because it was one of the biggest asks we had when we first launched automation as part of OMS, and even by itself, was you guys are doing awesome in managing Azure and other clouds, but we need to be able to connect into on-premises because that's where a lot of our ticketing systems are, troubleshooting systems, our CMDB, our self-service systems. When are you going to make it easy? And so now with the hybrid workers, you can actually do that very easily. So you can connect to all your on-premises systems, plus you can manage everything. I actually have some demos where I actually manage like Virtual Machine Manager and Hyper-V, you know, all of the vCenter, all that stuff from the cloud. You may not always want to do that, but it is available to you if you want to do it. So here's some of the services. You know, I talked a bit about the PowerShell Gallery, and here's kind of a list of things you might be interested in. I talked to someone earlier who's doing a bunch with Office 365, you know, and so maybe you want to like integrate and automate some of your Office 365 tasks, you know, like maybe you're spinning up some SharePoint environments for your end users, maybe you're adding new users for access to mailboxes, you know, a bunch of things you might want to be automating that typically, you know, you'd have to manually do. So if you're looking at any of these kind of end-to-end systems, not just the infrastructure ones, but services that might be running in the cloud, you can actually figure out, you know, write down what are the process, and then you can literally automate it in PowerShell. And most of these you could probably automate, you know, get something working in just a couple hours, and then once you validate it, you can get the value out of it, you can harden it up within a day, and you'd actually have that thing in your library, everybody can use it, and it's just every time something happens, it just runs. And that's really the value of automation. The whole list there, I won't go through them, but literally there's hundreds of them. So if you want to go find all these things, we're trying to make this easier as you see as we go forward, but the first thing is the PowerShell Gallery, PowerShellGallery.com. There's a link I have in the deck. If you click on it, that's where you'll see all of the modules. Literally, I think it's hundreds, and you can import them directly into the service. So we don't import them all for you because you probably don't want them all, but they're there. We're also doing a lot of work on GitHub right now. So one of the things we're trying to do is open source a lot of our integration modules and our scripts and everything else so that you can actually just benefit as a community. You can contribute. So if you have your own scripts, you can contribute them up there. But also, if you just want to see what other people have done, like our MVPs, you can actually pull those down. And even from the product team, we're starting to push more and more up there. And then obviously, TechNet Script Center, it's kind of where things live mostly at the moment. So you can just go to the, if you type in TechNet Script Center, you get to the Script Center, and there's literally hundreds of scripts up there that you can use, and modules, all kinds of stuff. You're probably familiar with it. But there's a ton of data out there, a ton of content. It just takes a little bit of searching, which is what we're trying to solve as we go forward. Okay, I know I only have, I think it's like 15 minutes, so I want to jump back into the demo real quick and see how we might integrate some of those. I want to touch on that site I built earlier and see if it actually made any progress. All right, so here's the demo. Well, it did finish. So, you know, I kicked that off that time, and now you can basically can see it actually went and pulled that alert from the system. So, you know, if you remember when I was looking inside of there, you know, here's the machine name that I was doing. So now it's in automation. So the interesting thing about this is you got the insight that something's going on in your environment. This could be any query that's up there. You can actually bring that into automation and now take action on that. And so one of the actions I might want to take is I could actually write a runbook now that when I see this alert, I want to go try and just restart the service. Because that might be the basic remediation you do when you see alerts like this that IIS is down for whatever reason. And so you're going to retry it and then check it. And if it comes up successfully, then the alert is going to go away. If it doesn't, maybe you need to escalate that to your, you know, ticketing system. And so inside of automation, now you can bring in those core information you need, and it gives you the power to integrate into any system, try some remediation, do what you need to do to actually complete your end-to-end process. And so it's really powerful from that perspective. Like all of that insight that OMS has given you, you can actually take action on with automation. And it's not action always to try to solve it. It's always good to try to solve it, but a lot of times it's just escalating to the right people. Maybe it's tier two, these type of issues you need to go to, and these go to tier one. You know, all that kind of information is now available to you because you've brought the information into automation and you can integrate all those different systems together. Okay, so let me jump back real quick because I want to leave at least 5 minutes for some Q&A. So here's that typo of the homepage. I don't know if this is kicked in yet or not, but I'll refresh the page and see if it comes back up. If not, I will walk you through it real quick anyway. It's definitely slow, but I'll give it a minute. That could be a good sign that something may have happened on it. Well, while I'm waiting for it, I'm going to actually show you what happened in the back, and then I'll click back here and see if it actually refreshed. Okay, so, no, it refreshed. Okay, so you saw that when I kicked this off. I actually made some quick changes, like I was the dev, and I pushed this up to a build and checked in. And suddenly, I haven't done any work. I've just been talking for the last while. But it actually comes up automatically on the VM that's running in Azure, and the web page got updated and everything else. So that's kind of awesome, and Visual Studio does a really good job of, like, if you were just a dev and you wanted to do that end-to-end. But what happens if you're actually part of IT and you're trying to actually enforce some policies and compliance and do the right thing so that if something goes wrong, you could actually do something with this later, like back it up maybe, or figure out if the right certificates are installed there. What are the secrets you want to use that your developers aren't allowed to use? All of that can actually be done. I'll show you how it's done here. But you still, from the developer stand, they still got what they wanted. They checked in something, and the site just updated automatically. So let me just show you real quick how that actually works. There's some deeper sessions that are online and some blogs, but it'll give you a quick view into how things work. So I mentioned earlier this new thing we have called desired state configuration. It's starting to show up inside of the service today, and it's actually usable. You just saw it there. But how it works is you write things called configuration. So most of you are probably used to deploying virtual machines using scripts like PowerShell or PowerShell workflow. And you know, you would say, you know, deploy the machine out, then enable IIS, you know, turn on some ports, copy some files over. That's typically what you do. The idea behind configuration is you kind of state what you want the end result to be, and you state it using this configuration file, and then the actual service itself or the agent says, okay, that's what you want, I can enforce that. And it will do it automatically. And if somebody changes something, it will actually go and update it automatically. And so here you can see this configuration. I won't go through it because you can read it online. But you can see I'm enabling, here's my node. So I have an Ignite node. It's basically the server. I'm enabling IIS on it, enabling ASP, the management tools. I want to make sure that this new website called Ignite is up. So the web content, I want to make sure if somebody changes the web content like I just did, I want it to get updated automatically. So you can see I set the modified date so that will pick up new content. The other interesting thing here is I had this operational insight package. And so if you remember, once I brought this machine up, I might want to get some insights and bring that into OMS. And so what I've done behind the scenes is actually I've installed the operational insights agent, that's the Microsoft management agent, into this website inside the VM. So all the data is actually showing up inside of OMS now. So when I did that deployment, you know, you got the end-to-end without doing any work, but you've actually added management functionality. You now have insight into what's going inside that virtual machine. Plus, you have all the configurations. So you can state directly here, like maybe you have a certificate to that you use that the developers don't have to access SSL, because you have to get it signed and then get deployed, or you've got some secrets, or you're going to back it up, you know, because it's an important website. All of that can be done through this configuration and through automation. So the only thing I'm going to jump in here real quick is I'm not going to go through all the details of it, but you get the idea. So if I went back here to my runbooks and I showed you a jobs, well, just overall jobs, you'll probably see this invoke new VS build just happened there, well, 2:30, 5 hours ago up in Seattle. But it literally happened while I was talking. And what this thing did was it actually got called automatically from Visual Studio build environment. So we have a webhook feature. If you're interested in webhooks, we have one inside of automation that says if an event happens over here, you can actually call automation automatically when that event happens. And a lot of systems are starting to support what they're called service hooks or webhooks. It's basically so you don't have to poll the systems. They will actually send you the data when an event happens. But that's what I've hooked up. A ton of different services are starting to add these out. It's kind of a new thing, but we do support webhooks. And it just goes and calls invoke new VS build. And what I do is I actually get the build from Visual Studio. I can apply a bunch of changes on it. And then I deploy it, make it available for the configuration. And then that DSC configuration sees the modified time has changed and automatically pulls up everything. And so all of this is done through automation, through management. And once you get it set up, it's just brain dead. I could spin up 50 more of these things literally in about a minute, because it's the exact same configuration. Every website's the same way. I want all the builds, all the websites to get deployed on all of them. So it just gives you that kind of management that would actually be very complicated in the past, but now you can really build out pretty sophisticated scenarios, relatively easy, actually. But I wouldn't start with this one. But if you are interested in it, there is some blog posts that I'm writing on how to do this. Okay, so that's. I'm going to jump back here and just give us a couple of minutes and finish up the content. Okay, so what's happening with automation inside of Operations Management Suite? Obviously, at OMS, there's investments happening on every level. So the log analytics, those guys are killing themselves. There's tons of new capabilities coming out. The backup guys, site recovery guys, all of those and new services. You know, we have a pretty large team that's working on adding new capabilities. From the automation side, which is what I focus on, you know, we're doing a bunch of work ourselves. And you're going to see these come out over in September and October. So I mentioned before we have two type of things we support. Graphical authoring, which I didn't really get a chance to show, but you can look at it very easy. But it's in beta. It's going to get some work over the next few months. We support PowerShell workflow, and we're going to support native PowerShell in the next couple of weeks. And so if you're not familiar between the differences, there are differences, and you would run into them pretty quickly. So if you don't need PowerShell workflow, you probably aren't going to use it. But if you really need it, it's there, and it's good for long-running tasks. But we're going to support just native PowerShell literally in the next couple of weeks, which I think will simplify a lot of your lives. Role-based access control. I won't go into the details of that, but you guys probably know what that is and why it's important. And so inside of our servers, you can actually apply different roles. And we've introduced a new role ourselves for automation called the operator role. And this allows you, maybe you're the admin that's going to do all the credentials and all the management and build all the runbooks, but then you just want your end users to be able to execute them. So that would be an operator role. So they can't get access to your stuff. They can't change it, get access to your credentials, but they still can run the thing. So maybe they're a new user onboarding. They just run it, and they can do it from there. The whole gallery, you saw kind of our gallery. We have a lot of content, tons of content out there, but it's not the easiest to find. And so we're bringing all out that content into the experience inside of a gallery in the service. You saw source control is coming up. It becomes important as you start to build out, you know, maybe dozens or hundreds and hundreds of these scripts. You know, sometimes it's difficult to track who did what and what changes, by kind of enabling integration with source control, it can simplify your lives longer term. You don't have to start there, but it's something to keep an eye on as you get more sophisticated, and it will be lighting up. And then integration with other services. So if you're familiar with Azure, which just looks like a lot of you are, you know, they have this alerting service today that if something happens on any of your different services, you can get an alert. And today, when you get an alert, it basically says, send me an email. It's the only option they have. We're also going to have the ability to, say, kick off this automation. And then the automation might go do some remediation, then some escalation. And so that'll make it a lot easier just to manage all of your Azure services, no matter what they are, using that feature. And some other things we're doing with virtual machines. Okay, so I think we've only got like the 5 minutes left, so I think this is my last slide. But I think the key takeaways from here is, you know, OMS gives you that insight. And the real beauty of it is you just have these agents and the logs just show up. And I think if you tried it, you know, if you went out and tried it, you'd be quite amazed on the type of visibility you can get once you get all this log information into your the service. And what it really powerful is, it gives you correlation across all these things. So you might want to say, you know, my app is running slow, but, you know, is there something going on with the SQL server at the time, or is the network bad? And so now you can actually query across all these different sources and be able to get a real view into what's happening inside your infrastructure. And all that's possible because now we've aggregated all the data and given you rich search across all the data. And you can save the searches, do tons of stuff in there. The other thing from an automation standpoint is our goal longer term is we're just going to have the one automation solution if you're starting to do hybrid management. Once you're ready, you know, we know if you're going to just do on-premises today, you're probably going to use Orchestrator SMA. We have a bunch of tooling to help move you to the cloud as you start to go towards hybrid. But if you do go towards hybrid, we want to, you know, start thinking about OMS and automation, how you bring your existing investments you have in PowerShell, Service Management Automation, Orchestrator, over into this one unified solution inside of OMS. And then obviously, you saw me touch on little pieces. You know, you basically can do anything you need. Obviously, it takes some work, the more complicated, but you know, I would take a step back and really say, okay, what am I doing in my organization that I probably should be automating? You know, what additional value could I offer out to my end users if I could integrate these systems together and automate them? And so that's one way to think about OMS and think about automation as you go forward. And please try it out. It's literally a free trial. You can just sign up, get some quick value, and if you have some feedback, there's a feedback button there that you can give us directly, and we're literally, you saw the changes we're doing over the next month or two. Every 2 or 3 weeks, we're adding more capabilities, mostly based on feedback we're getting from customers. Okay, so that's the end of the session. I think we have 2 or 3 minutes left. I don't know if we can take some questions, but you guys might be running to another session too. But I will be in the hub later on, and I had a session yesterday. So please, you know, there's another one there doing on, I think it was 245. That was a lot about PowerShell as well. So try that one out if you can. So I'll stop there, let you guys run to another session if you're running late. Otherwise, I can take some questions. And please fill out the feedback. It does help if you get a chance to push out the feedback. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.